Okay, I'm ready.
Back in December, I decided that I was going to talk about the main theme to me in Christmas, which is joy, and not just joy, but everlasting joy. And I realized there was a hole or a gap in the talk. And the gap was, we have everlasting joy. What about sorrow? Back in December, just before Christmas, I spoke at church, and it was, I decided that I was going to talk about the main idea, the main theme to me in Christmas, which is joy, and not just joy, but everlasting joy. And then I was asked if I would speak again now in January, and I gave that some thought, and I thought, yeah, I would. There's two threads to what I want to talk about today, and one of them is this. The first one was, when I finished that talk, writing it in January about everlasting joy, I finished it, and I wanted it to be about 15 minutes long, and so I'd done 15 minutes, and I realized there was a hole or a gap in the talk, and I thought, well, I'll just cover that some other time. And the gap was, we have everlasting joy. What about sorrow? How's that work? So that's thread one. And then the other thing that I was thinking back in December when I was thinking about today was, I wanted to talk about the I am passages when I get a chance to talk this year. The I am passages in the book of John. I got to tell you what I mean by the I am passages. We have four biographies of Jesus, and that's really rare for that era. Most famous people from that era, we don't have any biographies. We just have little throwaway comments in different historians. But we have one written by a guy named Matthew, another by Mark, third by Luke. And then all three of those are very similar. There's a fourth one, which is really pretty different. It's written by a very close friend of Jesus, a fisherman by the name of John. And John wrote a different biography. He edited carefully, and he included a very, very small number of episodes from the life of Jesus and little discourses or discussions that Jesus gave. Prominent within those little handful of discussions that John chose to put in his biography are places where Jesus described himself using the words, I am. And so I want to look at some of those today, or one of those really today, and it is one that has a lot to do with sheep. So let's take a look at that. So we're back in a warmer place. And let me begin by just reading the passage that I want to look at. It's in John chapter 10. And I'm going to read a fair chunk of it, down to verse 30. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the feast of the dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
I don't know if you noticed, but there's two I am passages in there. I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd. And I only want to focus on one of those, not on I am the gate. I want to look at that on another day. It is a powerful phrase, isn't it? It just seems to carry such weight and meaning. I am the gate. Some people translate it, I am the door. You can feel the power of the words, I am the door. Not, I can show you the door. Not, let me help you discover the door. We could go into any bookstore and look for shelves on life coaching, business coaching, psychology, even religion, and we would find those kinds of topics. Let me help you find the door. Let me help you find the gate. But what do you do with somebody who says, I am the gate? You can see why C.S. Lewis, in describing Jesus and these kinds of statements, said you have three choices. You can say he's a liar. You can say he's a lunatic. Or you can say he's Lord. But we're not talking about Jesus as the gate. We're talking about Jesus today as the good shepherd. And Jesus describes his followers as sheep and him as the good shepherd. And talking about people as sheep, I mean, it can be a pejorative comment. We have a modern attack or a negative thing that you can say about people. You can call them sheeple. Is that what Jesus meant? But you have to notice that he uses that in the context of him as shepherd. And looking at those that were following him as people who need care, sheep face a lot of threats. They're not like chickens. Everything wants to eat a chicken, but they're close. There's an awful lot of things that want to eat a sheep. Sheep have good reason to be easily scared. They're frightened easily. It takes me back to when I was in grade 9. My father wanted to do many things, and at one point, grade 9 it was, he wanted to be a farmer. And so we went through the farmer year. We had a bunch of pigs, and there was the day that he and I went to an auction and bought some sheep. Little lambs they were. I think we got 4. What my father hadn't really thought through was how to get them from auction to our house, which was from Cloverdale over to 152nd Street in Surrey. And so they went into the back seat of the car. And that was that. My job when we got home was to try and clean out the back seat of the car. That car forever smelled like sheep. It didn't get cleaned up too easily. Sheep get scared. They have good reason to be scared. They face a lot. Maybe you know the song. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. I don't know about you, I've faced a lot. But I like that next verse. His grace has brought me safe thus far. Do you want a shepherd to be with you through dangers and toils and snares? Or do you want to face them on your own? Life brings us incredibly good times. Brings us great joy. And it also brings us incredible sorrow. I have to ask myself, do I want to face those alone, or do I want a good shepherd that's there for those times? I was talking about with a friend this last week who is, I think, in his mid-40s. And when he was a young boy, he lost his mom. And he was telling me, right to this day, it still feels unreal to him, like something that happens to other people. You read about it, but it doesn't happen to you. But my experience is that sorrows are inevitable. They hit every one of us. There's no getting out of them in this life. And do we want a good shepherd who can be there to bring us through dangers and toils and snares? I want that good shepherd. I want him there with me. And then there's the next line of that song. Grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will bring me home. Grace, unmerited favor. Love that is undeserved, that's unearned. God doesn't love me because of me loving him. He loved me when I didn't love him. He loved me when I didn't care about him. Our good shepherd is there, ready to carry us, no matter what we do. There's a doctrine that we don't hear about all that often anymore. It's called the eternal security of the believer. And I think this passage in John is chiefly about that. It's about a few things, but that's chiefly what I'm getting out of it in my life right now. The eternal security of the believer. And I think there's 3 questions in there. How do we gain eternal life? What is eternal life? And can we be confident that we have eternal life? How do we gain eternal life? Basically, we don't. There's nothing you can do to gain it. It's not possible. It's right here in this passage. Jesus says, of his sheep, I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life. For many of us, it can be hard to receive gifts. We think that for a different reason. Sometimes we don't think we deserve them. Let me tell you, you don't deserve this. He gives it to us because he loves us. Sometimes we don't want to receive them because we're proud and we're strong. And there's this sense of being beholden to somebody. But Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And if you're one of those proud people that's just tough for you to say to God, I want you as my good shepherd, listen to his voice. If he's speaking to you, listen to his voice. My sheep know my voice. But what is eternal life? It's the second question when we look at that in this passage. I give them eternal life. What is that? The Bible describes it as, well, it describes two types of life. The good, normal, natural life that we all enjoy. And then it describes another life. And it uses those words, eternal life, which is described as being deeper, richer. It's more concerned with others than it is with ourself. It's often associated with freely giving love, not as an exchange, but just giving it. Jesus talks about it being associated with loving even your enemies. Supremely about loving God. And so that's this new life that Jesus says, I came to give them this life. But in this passage, one, it's not just the character of that life, which is different. It's the duration of that life. The first kind of life ends. It comes to a halt for every one of us. Eternal life, Jesus says, they will never perish. They will never perish. It's a life that continues. It's not a life in the hereafter. It actually starts now, and it just doesn't end like the first kind of life. But then the third question I think that comes to my mind as I look at this is, can I be confident that I have it? How can I be confident that I have it? Can I lose it? And so that's all caught up with this phrase, the eternal security of the believer, which I believe is a critical, critical part of the Christian faith. Can we lose it? I do not believe we can. Why is that? Well, it's not something we earn. It's a gift from the Good Shepherd to his sheep. It's not dependent on the sheep. They didn't do anything to get it. It was given to them by the shepherd. He said, you hear my voice? My gift to you is eternal life. He says, no one will ever snatch them from my hand. And then Jesus says this. He says about us, about his sheep. My Father has given them to me. How is it possible to lose your salvation? You are a gift to the Son from the Father. Do you think there is anything that can separate you from that kind of love? What power can take you out of the hand of Jesus? You, a gift to Jesus from the Father. You can't walk away from it. We're all sheep. Sheep wander. Let me read you this passage. It's in Luke. Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Let me ask you, when the sheep is on the shoulders of that shepherd, is he clinging on with his hands and fingers? No. Sheep don't have hands and fingers to cling on. The shepherd carries them. All sheep stray. Some stray a long way, some stray a short way. They get into dangers. They hurt themselves. All the guidance in the Bible isn't some sort of rule book. It's to keep us from being hurt. But when we get hurt, when we wander, when we stray, it's not possible to stray off the loving shoulders of our good shepherd. He will bring all of his sheep home. So what do we say to this? Remember, this started with two threads. One was sorrow in the middle of everlasting joy. And the other was Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd." If you're not yet a follower of that good shepherd, my plea to you is to do whatever it takes to become a follower of the good shepherd. I say that just because I love you. And if you are, then I want to just close with this from one of the smallest, shortest books in the New Testament, a little tiny book written by a fellow named Jude. And it's short, but he concludes this letter with these words. "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. The only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen."